Well, I try to preach this morning. I want to thank everybody for the Christmas cards and gifts. As most of you know, I don't send Christmas cards. I spend the money I spend on those and stamps on put them in the Christian Vision offering. Aaron says it's because I'm cheap, but that's not true. But Merry Christmas, everybody. I love you all and I appreciate you very much.
You are cheap.
God will call his people by another name. God will call his people by another name. Isaiah 65 this morning. Begin our reading this morning with verse 11. Chapter 65, book of the prophet Isaiah. He says this to the backslidden nation of Israel, and he says this, "But ye are they that forsake the Lord and forget my holy mount, that prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servant shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, shall howl for vexation of spirit. Ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name." I want to read that again. "You shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name, that he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth, and he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes." In this passage of Old Testament scripture, God is not speaking to the nation Israel, but to his people, Israel. This is extremely important for we who are living in New Testament times. This is what we call the church age. This is in the parentheses between Jesus' ascension back into heaven and his second coming to our planet. It is extremely important for us to really grasp this truth. Let me illustrate as best I can in human language the great mystery of God's chosen people. Emphasis, chosen. God's chosen people. This term, you see, covers both of the Testaments. Both of the Testaments of the Bible are covered by the term God's chosen people. It begins with Abram's progeny. The Jews were called Israelites in the expansion of God's people. Israel remained that until the founding of the New Testament church. Now just bear with me. The children of God are now called Christians. Amen? Today we're called Christians. They were first called this at Antioch, as recorded in the book of Acts. Church of Antioch. This then is the new name of God's children. They are no longer an earthly nation, but a new, a truly new creation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. I read these two verses. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This scripture clearly informs us that the ecclesia, that the called out spoken of in this book, this world where God's people are called Christians, we are grafted in, according to Romans 11, into the seed of Abram. You see, it's a spiritual, not a carnal birth that takes place. And this is important for us to understand. You read the third chapter of the Gospel according to John, points out very clearly about the spiritual birth. Spiritual, not carnal. Heavenly, not earthly. It is a fact that the Jew must become a Christian. Amen? The Jew must become a Christian, and the Christian and the Jew become one. Amen? Just as the Mexican or the German or any other earthly nationality becomes one with the chosen generation, Peter speaks of in the verses I read earlier. This then is the new name spoken of in Isaiah's text this morning. Christian. The old Israel will be no more when God creates a new heaven and a new earth. The United States of America, the Irans and Pakistans, the nations that war with each other over the 6,000 years of human history will be no more. But all be brand spanking new, as my dad used to say. Brand spanking new. Let's think for a minute or two about what it really is that Peter wrote to the New Testament church, because it was difficult for them to grasp as well. First, he informed them that they were a chosen generation. Remember, Jesus told his disciples, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." Amen? You can't be big-headed about your salvation that you say, "I went forward, I did this, I gave up booze, I. God chose you before the foundation of the world." That humbles us, should, because none of us deserve to be chosen. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So he emphasizes that to the church of that day. He informed them that they were a chosen generation. Now this word generation defines our act or process of producing offspring. Father, son, grandson. Many would say three to a generation, you know. But a generation, all those living in the same period of time. Think now, God's chosen people live forever. That's a unique thing, is it not? God's chosen people live forever, endless time, eternally. If this is true, then Lew Court and Abraham will be alive in the new creation. Wow. Think about that. Just boggles my mind. Second, Abraham, we understand, according to the scripture, was what? Chosen by God. He did not choose God. God chose him. Amen? Abraham did believe God, and the same thing happened to Lou. God chose Lou, and Lou believed God. I didn't understand. I just believed him. I don't think Abraham fully understood. Read about it. You know, but there it is. Neither Abraham or Lou had anything to do but believe God's word. Not only that, but through the new spiritual birth that Abraham and Lou believed as a free gift by believing God, they now are citizens of a holy nation. The very kingdom of the creator of the universe in this new heaven and new earth, the sovereign God of Genesis. You know, think about it. You remember the story in the Garden of Eden, and you walk and talk with Adam and Eve. We're going to walk and talk with God, with Jesus. In the new heaven and the new earth, in eternity, forever. That's what the Bible says. Doesn't it? I believe. Yeah. That's why so many people say, well, the Bible, just a bunch of old stories, fables, and so forth and so on. Boy, I'll tell you what, I sure feel sorry for them when Jesus comes again. In this new heaven and earth, the sovereign God of Genesis will walk and talk with Abram and Lou as he did with Adam and Eve in the garden before sin entered this world. You and I are in it, Jesus said, but not of it. That's why there's going to be a new one. We messed this one up, didn't we? Don't like to admit that, but we did. See, down here we're pilgrims, if I understand the scripture correctly. We're pilgrims down here. We're just passing through. But we are, according to the scripture, God's chosen people. Chosen for what? So we'll stay out of hell? No. No, that's not why we're chosen. Because we're chosen, we will escape punishment for our sins. Because we believe God and believe Jesus and believe what Jesus did on the cross. But no, we are chosen just as Israel was chosen through Abram to be God's ambassadors, representatives here on this sinful earth. We are saved to glorify our Savior. Wow, I thought I was saved to preach. No, I hope my preaching glorifies God, but it certainly isn't why I was saved. I was saved to represent him. You're not preachers, but you're saved to represent him, just like I am. See? We get all involved in all this peripheral stuff and we forget the very basic thing. God created us as an image. We messed up. He's going to save his image and we're going to be exactly what he wanted us to be in the first place in the end. I like that. Amen. I like that. A lot of people say, well, that's just because you're an old guy and you're ready to die. Well, Maybe that's true, but I don't think so. I think if you're sitting there today and you've never really trusted Jesus Christ, you know darn well what I'm telling you is the truth. You just don't want to face it. Pilgrims, not citizens, which of course means that as far as this world is concerned, we are, number four, peculiar. Yeah. A chosen generation, a holy nation, and oh yes, I skipped, a royal priesthood. Think about it. Chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation. We need no go-between. We can go directly to our Father. Amen? Amen. Through Jesus, our mediator, we can go directly to our, we don't need a priest. You don't need a preacher to be saved. You need Jesus to be saved. No priest, no preacher. You know why? Because according to the Bible, Jesus is right here. Amen?
Amen?
Jesus is in each of his chosen people.
That's right.
Wow, what a mystery. No wonder the world can't comprehend the truth. They've got to be born again. Nicodemus, you'll never understand. You won't be able to enter the kingdom of heaven till you've been born again. Born of the Spirit. Face to face with Jesus. Yeah, yeah. Open your hymnals. Open your hymnals. To page, let me get it here. Number 489. Number 489. Listen to this. This was written in 1898. Hymn 489. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Did you ever think about that? With Jesus? Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face. What will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Only faintly now I see him with the darkling veil between. But a blessed day is coming when his glory shall be seen. What rejoicing in his presence when I'm banished grief and pain, when the crooked ways are straightened and the dark things shall be plain. Face to face, oh blissful moment, face to face to see and know, face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face, in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Wow. Isn't that something? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me. It's true, our intercessor will be seen by us in all his glory. We will be in the presence of John, who writes in his gospel that Jesus is the Word that became flesh. Jesus is the one who made everything that was made. Jesus is the one who was and is life and light. Jesus is the one who can give us who chose to give us the power to become God's children by grace through faith in the very Word of God. And there he was, a little baby in a manger stall. Emmanuel, God with us. Don't tell me not to say Merry Christmas. There we have it. A chosen generation from Genesis to Revelations. A royal priesthood, Old and New Testament. A holy nation as proclaimed by Isaiah in our morning text. A new name. A peculiar people. Is it any wonder, beloved, that the lost world considers us peculiar, the Christians? We have no local state, province, earthly kingdom. We have no national or geographical border that separates us. The native of India or Mexico or Uganda or Poland, the Eskimo and the New Zealander, the man or woman with yellow or red or black skin that has been chosen by God to be his child, is your brother or sister in Jesus Christ. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Not when we get to heaven. Not when the new heaven and earth comes to pass, as Peter writes. But right now, this very second, we are brothers and sisters all around the world, some who may be being killed this very minute in other places. The church, the living body of Jesus Christ, the called out, the ones who bear the name Christian, the new name the prophet Isaiah spoke of God giving his chosen people, that name, beloved, is Christian. Don't ever forget it. That is the new name. Isaiah was talking. Aren't you glad you're one today? And if you aren't, I hope you're glad you can be.